Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Redmen News. It's Monday the 4th of November. I am Ross Chanley, joined by Ben Kelly for this one. Apologies for being slightly later than usual. Just a very, very busy morning. It won't happen again. Probably will. As you all noticed, we are back by Athletic once again. You should know this by now, but I'm going to tell you anyway. As a lovely viewer of Redmen News, you can get yourself 50% off your yearly subscription, which is about £2.50 a month, and you can have a 30-day free trial to The Athletic. Just go to www.theathletic.co.uk/Redmen News. Loads of good writers, you know about this by now. Again, James Pearce, Si Hughes, Rafa Honigstein, Dave Ornstein, loads going on, loads of in-depth stuff, some really good reads, and a bit different, no ads, no pop-ups. It's well worth your time. First article, Ben, is from The Athletic.
It is.
As always. Mm. Liverpool practice improbable comebacks in training.
And that's why they're so good at them. I love it.
That tightly enough just blew my mind. And that's why they're so good at them. And Pep knows it. This is from Si Hughes. Again, we had this discussion on The Final Word, which will be out on YouTube in a short while, of Liverpool's mentality just before a final squad. Your opinion on Liverpool at the weekend and kind of not giving up. We had the discussion of I wasn't resigned to the fact, but as it edges close towards the end of the game, you kind of go, this is the one where we draw, this is the one where we lose. But Liverpool players continue not to have that in them.
Yeah, we've talked about it so many times on so many different shows recently, like the mentality of this squad and, you know, the way Klopp is clearly engineering his training sessions and what have you. You know, I think he's probably, look, he's rightly regarded as one of the best managers in the world. He's probably actually underrated, like how he manages to get so much out of this squad. You know, when you think about the actual way his system works, and like it sounds dapper, like the science behind it. Like there'll be so much that we just haven't got a clue. Like there'll be so many keywords and phrases that are said on the pitch and stuff like that. And obviously the way that they're doing this, you know, the way that they're engineering situations in training to try and mimic high pressure situations in games is somewhat of a genius approach to trying to get a mentality in there, and it's clearly working because we're doing so many of the right things and getting so many late goals in games.
And one of those players that carries that mentality and he's shown time and time again, including this weekend, of not giving up, is Sadio Mane. So just a couple of quotes from him from the weekend. He said, "Our mentality was fantastic." Sadio Mane announced with a sort of confidence that assured there wasn't any room for discussion around the matter. He had assisted Liverpool's 87th minute equaliser with a gorgeous cross, then headed the winner 7 minutes later. At 1-0 down, we kept believing. He added, we missed chances, but we tried, and tried again. And I absolutely love this. And something that happened at half-time, and I think it's a fine line between arrogance and confidence, isn't there, Ben? I'm always confident that Liverpool will continue to create chances, and it's frustrating the fact that we miss a lot of them, or just hard lines. I think some of Sadio Mane's passing, Aston Villa wasn't on, you know, particularly towards Salah. We kept making runs. But, like, you know, we've been through times at Liverpool teams where, you know, I've said this loads, we had, like, Ricky Lambert and Balotelli and Aspas, and we don't create loads of chances, whereas this team...
We'll create enough chances that eventually you're going to take one.
Yeah.
That's the
or
way it is.
Or two in this case.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, look, the passing, you know, from Mane, you know, was off at times at the weekend, but he gets that ball to Robertson absolutely spot on. It's an absolutely world-class delivery, and it's a really good run from Robertson as well to get there late, and you know, it's a powerful header, obviously. Mane, there'd been a similar situation early on in the game where I think it might have been Trent who played it for Mane who heads it, and he makes a really good save. So we clearly spotted that cross-ball field was on, that cross-field ball, rather, was on, and Mane's the one who does that. And it's, again, these type of situations that Hughes is talking about here is because we're being trained not to panic in those situations and force things. You know, there was periods under Jurgen Klopp where it used to feel like, you know, in 16, 17, 17, 18, where we really were trying to force situations. Now we've got the confidence in ourselves that we know it's going to come naturally, and those chances are going to crop up even late in games. The key thing is not panicking.
It's not just the mentality, it's the physicality of, like, obviously, as I was saying, like, you know, once your body's tired, your mind goes with it.
Yeah.
Liverpool don't have that, and I think they bank on that, the fact that, you know, whatever the training regime at Liverpool do, the people that they have in the backroom staff of, you know, physically preparing them and mentally preparing them for these games, as you just said there, don't go into the dying minutes and give up. Whereas I think they use that to their advantage, not just for themselves, but knowing that opposition players might do that. Because I think when it went to 1-1, that was obviously a sucker punch for Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Whereas Liverpool just go on and carry on and dominate. Next story, which I'm sure you're all here for, is some hot Adam Lallana chat. Adam Lallana emerging as a target for clubs in China and MLS as Liverpool contract expires this summer. Obviously, the title is contract latest for Adam Lallana. Just go on to say further down. Adam Lallana is emerging as a target for clubs in China and MLS, we just mentioned. Lallana's current deal expires at the end of the season, and Liverpool are ready to discuss an extension with Klopp and Myron for his leadership qualities and ability to play him in a number of positions. And I think that end bit there is kind of key for me. I think there's a lot of preconceptions about Adam Lallana. He's not the player that he was 3-4 years ago. I don't think we should expect him to be. But he kind of showed he's not Fabinho.
Get
that out there. But having the squad depth and being able to go and bring someone in of his experience, of his quality, is important for Liverpool at this stage, and sure, we'll progress again to where we won't need him, which I think will come some debate in the comments below. Obviously, let us know your thoughts on would you give him an extension or not, or would you just go out and replace him?
This is an interesting bit for me, the leadership qualities.
It's the same for Milner.
I think the fact that that Lallana is seen as one of those guys in the squad, despite not being more on the periphery of the team, you know, even more so than Milner, you'd argue, on a consistent basis. The fact that Klopp still sees him as a leader in the dressing room is actually quite comforting, I think. You know, the fact that we've got these types of players who, you know, Adam Lallana clearly understands his role at Liverpool right now, and he's happy with it, and he's happy to keep going and keep leading the younger players forward. And I think, you know, when you get to the games like Arsenal last week and you know, other cup games that we're going to go into over the course of the season, Lallana's going to be an important player, and he might be the same next season as well.
Yeah, and it's also a good point, actually, of if you're thinking about replacing Adam Lallana, to bring someone in to convince them that they're ultimately going to be behind that, and you don't have those leadership qualities to come in with it. Again, let us know, Adam Lallana, your thoughts on him, and your thoughts on the performance at the weekend as well. I don't think it was too bad, but I think comparing to Fabinho's used, you know, against him at times, and I don't think we should be doing that, really. Adam Lallana continued on late goals and Liverpool's sixth sense. Adam Lallana sees Liverpool's habit of salvaging points from improbable situations as something akin to a sixth sense, something we discussed earlier on. Smiley folks, he said, "We knew at half time we got one goal, it was going to count. We got it late, but we still had time. It doesn't surprise me that we got a second goal. We had made 11 changes, but as a squad, you still gain momentum just from being there, even the lads who didn't play. We took that, and even though we went at our best in the first half, it helped us towards a never say die attitude. We just got the momentum, and teams worry when it's late." Again, something that we touched on earlier on. And I think when you're saying Klopp's kind of underrated, it's that half time thing. Again, I'm kind of always confident of, like, I don't think we were terrible in the first half, but we weren't great either.
No.
But you trust Klopp and his staff, and obviously has loads of analysts now, to go in our time
and assess what's wrong. Yeah, and assess what's going to go right, and assess where there's room for opportunity in the game. You know, they'll have known that they'll have gotten at half time, and they'll have known exactly where our opportunities will come from. And maybe that cross ball to the back post was one of those things that was spotted and was targeted by the lads. But, you know, look, these are the type of games where, you know, that 0 becoming a 1 becoming a 3 will make so much difference come the end of the season. And obviously those stories there about, you know, that sixth sense, and it won't be the last one this season.
No,
it's not the first. No. You know, and we're just really good at doing it.
I mean, I prefer it if they did it a lot earlier on.
I think
it's good for our mental health. Think of age, about 3 years. Second to last story,
This is an interesting one.
It's interesting, yeah. Weird. Jason McAteer, former Liverpool player, urges his Reds to sign final piece in the jigsaw in Chelsea start and Goro Kante.
I'd take him. You know what I mean?
I'd take him. I think he's a brilliant player. I don't know where this is coming from. So anyway, ex-Liverpool man Jason McAteer says the Reds should sign. Looking to sign Chelsea's world-class midfielder Goro Kante in the near future to complete Jurgen's jigsaw. The Reds have a number of midfield options, though Kante would no doubt improve the quality of Klopp's disposal in that area of the pitch. McAteer told the Racing Post, of all people, Kante is definitely one of the final pieces in Jurgen Klopp's jigsaw. The role of holding midfielders developed in modern times, and Liverpool boasts one of the best in the business in Fabinho. He just gets it, gives it, and doesn't do anything flamboyant. His awareness of danger is fantastic, and he and N'Golo Kanté, Chelsea, are two of the best players in the Premier League at playing that role.
It feels like he contradicted himself there. He's going, well, he's the final piece of the jigsaw, but he's also got a piece that fits into the jigsaw really, really well. I don't understand what exactly he's trying to say there. Why do we need both? Like, Kante's a great player, but Fabinho at the moment, you know, why would you, unless you're going to play a double pivot, you know, but even then it's two incredibly defensive midfielders to be playing in a 4-2-3-1. It just doesn't seem to make sense. I don't think, to say he's a missing piece of the jigsaw is quite an overstatement for me.
If you said Kante's a great addition to the squad, fair play, Jason.
That implies there's a gap in that centre midfielder midfield role, and there just isn't.
Maybe he watched the game the past two games, but Fabinho hasn't played and gone
maybe.
On.
Yeah.
Maybe we need the DM.
They need a goal. Yeah, they need a DM then. They don't play.
Kalana's not ready, is he?
No.
Let us know your thoughts. Would you have N'Golo Kante? Do Liverpool need him? And if so, would you play him with Fabinho? Maybe you can make a case to say that you could play Kante, Fabinho, Chamberlain.
What is play? What so? Who?
Well, yeah, Kante's pretty.
But Kante was not criticised. Sorry, Sarri was criticised last season for not playing Kante in the defensive role because he just was nowhere near effective when he played him a little bit further forward. He played a 4-3-3 last season, so I just don't see. You know, I just don't see a world where Kante fits into our squad. He's a great player, but.
Yeah, we don't need him. It's fine. Final story. Pep Guardiola confirms Man City star could miss the crucial Premier League title clash against Liverpool.
This is bullshit.
Could be the imperative word in this. Manchester City coach Pep Guardiola has revealed David Silva could miss Sunday's showdown at Anfield. Ben, you've already called bullshit on this story. Why have you done that?
Because it is.
I've not even read it yet.
Right, so the quotes are right. So let's just go through. He talks about a little muscular problem. And what he does, I didn't speak with the doctor, but when he has a muscular problem and he cannot play more minutes, it's because he has something. When it's a muscular problem, it's always a minimum of 10 to 12 days.
Whoa. Where's he from?
He's from Spain.
Is that Spanish?
That was Spanish. Let me know. That was Spanish. That was all right. Where was that then?
Do you sound like, I don't know.
Yeah, that was more Spanish than any other accent. Anyway, minimum of 10 to 12 days. That's like the most convenient time because, if he's out for 10 to 12 days, he'll definitely miss the game. But funnily enough, that isn't how it works.
It's almost enough time to go to Barcelona and
And have a little bit of injecty. No, but that's what I mean. Injecty. 10 to 12 days is so, like, it's so obviously just a time frame that, initially rules him out of the game, but it's just so obvious. I don't understand why Pep Guardiola does this because we've had this before, but it's not mind games because Jurgen Klopp is going to read this story and do the exact same as us this morning. It's not going to affect his preparation. It's not like we're going to play a different midfield based on whether or not David Silva is or isn't playing.
No.
It doesn't matter. Jurgen Klopp will set up for this game exactly the same way. It's just daft. It's just.
Did you see his comments when he got asked about Liverpool? Was it after yesterday's game? Was it Saturday's game?
Yeah, the diving. Yeah. Well, we're going to discuss that on Around the League because he was asked about Liverpool, but he wasn't asked about Sadio Mane and his diving, and he just brought that up.
He hadn't watched the game, but he did say sometimes he dives, so rent free on that one. That's all the stories for today. Tom, have you got some comments ready for us?
Yeah, just going to kick it off with a super chat. Ben Pryor says, I loved the last Around the League show, Ben. It was class.
Thanks.
There you go. There's going to be another Around the League out tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to be a belter as well. Yeah, what are we talking about today?
We've got VAR, obviously.
Again.
We've got a little bit of a talk about the Cup last week. You put me on the spot.
Leicester City, Man United,
Everton, Tottenham. Obviously, there was a few incidents in that game that we were going to discuss. So yeah, just get over to the website and have a little listen.
It's a good show because we do try and take red tinted glasses off and have a look around what's going on. But also, it lasts about 5 minutes and it's funny.
Yeah.
Tom.
Obviously loads on Adam Lallana. So Callie up north says Adam is creeping back into this squad and we're starting to see glimpses of his capability, keep him as a squad player. And then Siddy says Lallana should be given the contract, he's a good player, not enough to break into the first team but a good option from the bench to unlock a defence. And then on the other side, Stephen Naderson says sell Adam because he deserves more playing time that he's going to get here. Sorry to say, as much as I love him, he's a class player. And then Joey Muddy finally says, I'd let Lallana leave at the end of his contract with a Premier League medal. The squad will have moved on to another level by then. Makes room in the squad for the likes of Curtis or Gruwich when he's back.
That's a good shout. Grujic is one I always forget about, but he's doing quite well in Germany.
Yeah, no, I quite like the positivity around Adam Lallana, because I think there's a sense of him and several other players that just get written off, and it's nice to see some appreciation for him. Again, like we mentioned before, and one of those comments said, you know, that the squad moves on for him. I think we're in a position now where we can use him like we have been doing.
Yeah.
And appreciate the fact that we know he's a squad player and having that depth that we haven't had for like 3-4 years and being sound with it. And again, when it comes to the summer, you know, there's other people. I think it also depends on what happens with James Milner. I know Jim Milner doesn't play that sixth role, but like, if he went to go for Leeds United, then you've lost one player there. Can you afford to lose two in that midfield? And again, who's available to bring in? But what about yourself? What would you do with Adam Lallana?
I think it's difficult. I think you kind of maybe just give it a little bit more time until January, because that is the point where he can begin to negotiate if he wants to move. I think I like the shout about bringing younger players through, and maybe that would be a reason for, you know, beginning to move players like Lallana on. And obviously Milner's another one as well that we'll have to start to have that conversation about. But you know, the likes of Grujic is playing really well in Germany. Curtis Jones came on and changed the game against Arsenal. We've got good players there who really now should be looking to get into the first team, and Adam Lallana might be one of those players that has to make way for that.
Okay, one more, Tom. I wasn't ready for that. One spot. No. Do you want Ben to do a Spanish accent while you trying to figure one out?
Yeah, there's one on Kante. Let me just find it. I think someone just said Kante can play as an attacker. Obviously, I know he's more effective as a six, but he could play as that number eight role, like how Gini plays it.
Yeah, that's what I kind of get. And I mean, but a luxurious position to be in if you've got Fabinho Kante in the midfield.
I just don't see. He's going to cost so much money in goal, though, Kante. And you know, we've had the conversations on the Umbu in the final words there about centre backs, and you know, when Matip doesn't play, the next sort of person in line for that centre back role alongside Van Dijk is up in the air. Right now, if I was going to make signings in the summer, and you know, they'd be definitely at the front of the pitch where we need a little bit more cover, but also at the back as well. I think the midfield, we've got so many options in there. I don't think we need somebody like Kante at all.
There we go. We'll wrap it up there. Don't forget, you can get your 30-day free trial and nearly 50% of your subscription from The Athletic. Just go to www.theathletic.co.uk/redbennews. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:30, not 12:45. Loads of build-up on the website coming out and on YouTube as well. We've done the final word. It'll be out shortly. We've also done the build-up. Chris's starting 11 will also be out soon. So go and check all that out. Get yourself in the mood for tomorrow night's game, and we'll see you tomorrow. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.